Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and welcome to another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius, coming to you live from the great city of Florence, South Carolina, and I am so delighted that you have decided to join in for episode number 1420. We are so excited about what God is doing, what he's going to do tonight, and just being alive, really. I mean, it's always a good thing just to be grateful for, even if people want to recognize them as little things, but sometimes those little things are some of the best things. I mean, just being able to open your eyes and experience another day. So I hope that you've had a wonderful Tuesday. I hope that, you know, that you are still expecting great things to happen this week, despite how your week may have started. But again, I am your host, Arthenius, and I'm with One Touch Transformation, which is my nonprofit organization and ministry, where we dedicate ourselves to spreading the awareness of sexual abuse while educating the community about it, talking about it, having the conversations within the community, within churches, on our virtual platforms now. But while we're educating, we are also empowering and encouraging all victims and survivors to let them know that healing is available, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And why? Because I can say from experience that you do not have to remain a victim of childhood sexual abuse. You do not have to remain a victim of your past. You do not have to allow your past to dictate who you are or who you will become or where God can take you. So do know that if you are dealing with the pain of the past, you too can overcome. God has been able to work through One Touch Transformation and its supporters and everyone who has been with us since day one, which was 2014, and we've been able to touch numerous lives, and not just through raising awareness, but through the healing part, because I want everyone who has gone through a similar experience to experience freedom, like true freedom, because God said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, we know that the enemy, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to remain in darkness. He wants us to remain bound. He wants us to remain in our past, but God said, no, that's not what I want for you. I want you to experience true joy, true liberty, and true strength that only comes from him. And you can, no matter what your past is. Maybe you may not have experienced the same thing as, you know, sexual abuse or abuse period, but we've all experienced some type of hardship. We've all had some hard times. We've all been to a place where we felt like we've hit rock bottom. But guess what? We do not have to stay there, because we serve a God who is able to pick us up, who is able to put us back on track and allow us to come back even better and even stronger and even wiser. And so tonight, I hope that something that is said will bless you, will encourage you and empower you. And, you know, it might be a little different than what I normally bring on Tuesday nights, but it is okay. We are still here to uplift, still here to encourage, and we are still here to empower. All right, so those of you, well, I know most of the women, they should already know, but just in case you don't know, if we have any male listeners, I want you to know that this has been deemed as Women's History Month. Now, yesterday we did celebrate International Women's Day, but this entire month, March the 1st through the 31st, we are celebrating women of all backgrounds, of all colors, all ethnicities, whatever it is. This month is all about the women. And so I just want to give a little brief history that I looked up under it's the National Women's History Museum. So if you get a chance, you can research it online. But it gives a little, you know, a little history about how it all came about. And so it says every year March is designated Women's History Month by presidential proclamation. The month is set aside to honor women's contribution in American history. Now, we don't want to just limit it to American history, but what about just everyday living, everyday lives? We have so many women who have played important roles in all of our lives, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and different cousins, different relatives, maybe, you know, good friends, teachers, ministers. I mean, we have all been impacted by some woman, in our lives. So we don't want to just focus on the ones who contributed to American history, but we want to celebrate even the everyday woman. And it says, did you know that Women's History Month started as Women's History Week? Women's History Month began as a local celebration in Santa Rosa, California. The Education Task Force of the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women planned and executed a Women's History Week celebration in 1978. The organizers selected the week of March 8th to correspond with International Women's Day. The movement spread across the country as other communities initiated their own Women's History Week celebrations the following year. In 1980, a consortium of women's groups and historians led by the National Women's History Project, which is now known as the National Women's History Alliance, successfully lobbied for a national recognition. In February 1980, President Jimmy Carter issued the first presidential proclamation declaring the week of March 8, 1980, as National Women's History Week. So it goes on to say that subsequent presidents continued to proclaim a National Women's History Week in March until 1987, when Congress passed Public Law 100-9 designating March as Women's History Month. Between 1988 and 94, Congress passed additional resolutions requesting and authorizing the president to proclaim March of each year as Women's History Month. Since 1995, each president has issued an annual proclamation designating the month of March as Women's History Month. The National Women's History Alliance selects and publishes the yearly theme. The theme for Women's History Month in 2021 captures the spirit of these challenging times. Since many of the women's suffrage centennial celebrations originally scheduled for 2020 were curtailed, the National Women's History Alliance is extended the annual theme for 2021. I love this theme, to Valiant Women of the Vote Refusing to be Silenced. Far so long, women have been silenced, have been told to keep quiet, or just been known as the weaker vessel. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Women ought to be silent. But this year's theme is Valiant Women of the Vote Refusing to be Silent. And I just don't want to single it out as to silencing your voice, but I look at it in several ways. So, of course, number one, being the advocate that I am, I look at it as, you know, no more silence, no more, you know, not saying anything about it, you know, sharing stories of abuse, no more silence. No, we're going to speak up. But I also look at it this way, like, no more telling us that we can't work in whatever area that we want to. No more saying, like, that's the job of a man or that's just the job of a woman. But we have come so far. We have progressed so far over the years where we have women working in jobs that was once only worked by men. You know, we have women truck drivers. We have women engineers. We have women who working in the prisons. We have women, they are doing just as good of a job as a man or even better. So refusing to be silenced, refusing to be put down, refusing to say, oh, let a man do it or let a man handle it. But no, women are and have been and will continue to step up and do the job and get it done and do it well. And so now we're living in a time where a woman can become whatever she desires. Women, it's something about a woman that we always can recognize and we always can see it, that once a woman puts her mind to it, she's going to do it. That's why we have so many successful women who are achieving so much, who are going after their dreams, achieving so many goals, making such a huge impact on so many people. I mean, we have our woman vice president. Now, if that doesn't say anything, then I don't know what else does. But just being able to be a part of history, that should be enough to say, look, I can do whatever I put my mind to. With the help of God, I can accomplish whatever it is that I set my goals after. Whatever I set after to do, I can do it. Whatever it is, And we just want to continue to keep that going so that we can pass this on to other young girls. We have young girls who are interested in robotics, who are interested in science, and we want to make sure that we continue to allow their interest to grow and make sure they are doing what they need to. You know, these STEM programs, they are wonderful. And we want to make sure that they are continuing to nurture the gift they have for these different subjects and make sure that we are doing our part by encouraging them and motivating them. Like, look, you can do this. You can become whatever you want to. A lot of times we have these dreams and these aspirations when we're younger, and we begin to lose them as we get older. But we don't want to do that, or we don't want the generation after us to do that. We want them to continue to fight for their dreams. We want them to continue to go after what their heart desires. And at the same time, you know, teaching them to seek God first, because he tells us to seek him first and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. And so as long as we seek God first, then we don't have to worry about anything. We're able to accomplish whatever we put our mind to. All right, so there's a special guest that I have tonight in honor of celebrating Women's History Month, someone who I have watched go after, well, I won't say I've watched her go after a dream of hers, but from the time that I've known her, I've seen her working towards it or working more on it, because I know it's something that started before. So I know this dream of hers and this passion of hers has been inside of her. I know it had to start from somewhere, but I haven't known her very long. But from the time that I've known her, I've seen her work it, and I've seen her put in the work and stay up in hours and force herself to do it. I've seen her do it, and she has accomplished it not just one time but twice, and I know she's working towards the other one, and you'll know what I'm talking about once I begin the conversation with her. But she is an example of what it means to be persistent and, you know, just a go-getter. She has proven to me and to others what it means to really go after what you want to do, to put your mind to it, and not just talk about it, but actually be about it. And so I want to introduce none other than a friend of mine. Well, I would say she's not originally from the same area as I am. She's from all over. Those of you who have military parents, you'll understand that. But like I said, I haven't known her for a very long time, but from the time that I've known her, I've seen her work her dreams. I've seen her not just talk about it, but be about it. But she is now an author / writer of a couple of children's books. I remember when she first started talking about it. Like I said, I know it's been in the works, so she's had this passion for a while. But just to see it actually come to life after she's been putting in work, after she's been putting in, you know, the time. I've seen her been able to publish 2 children's books. And I'm so excited and so delighted to have her a part of this show as we celebrate Women's History Month. And without further ado, I'm going to bring her on the line. And I'd like to introduce all of you to Miss Erin Delancey. Welcome, 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 Erin.
Hello, good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing mighty fine, mighty fine. So thank you again for taking time out of your so busy schedule to join us tonight with Purpose Kingdom Network.
Absolutely.
So, and I want to say happy Women's History Month, because I'd like to acknowledge all the special women in my life, and so I do consider you a special friend and special woman, so give you your flowers while you're here.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So as I was stating earlier, I know this isn't something that just started, because from the time that I've met you, I've heard you talk about writing, heard you talk about how you used to journal and everything, but just curious, at what age did you realize that you had a love for writing?
Really, it was really, really early. I'm going to say around 3 or 4. I started reading at around the age of 2 or 3. So I always knew that I liked to write, and I was always writing something. I always had a little notebook carried around somewhere. I was writing a list of something. And I remember my mom, she only writes in cursive. So her handwriting, I always thought it was so pretty. So I was like, I'm going to write in cursive too. Except mine just looked like loops of E's and L's. But I was still really, I was still really proud of it. But yeah, I would say it started as early as 3 or 4.
Wow, that's amazing, because not most kids are, you know, I mean, some are talking, but to say that they're actually reading and writing at the age of 3, that's pretty amazing. So, and I think it's amazing that you even realize that and remember that, because I don't even know if I can remember anything from the age of 3. Okay. So, did you always know that you would write, you know, specifically children's book, or did that kind of evolve over time?
Actually, no, I didn't know that I would always write children's books. This is all really, really new to me. I'm teaching myself, so it's kind of a learn-as-you-go process. But I decided to write children's books because they're generally really short, and honestly, they just take a lot less time. So the shorter the book is, the more stories I can write in less time.
Well, I guess that makes sense. I never thought of it that way. But even whenever we were talking, and I would hear you talk about the whole, you know, going back and forth with the illustrator, does that part seem like is that the hardest part of writing the children's book?
The hardest part is being patient. I would say that's the hardest part.
Okay.
So I'm that's something that I'm really, really working on. I pray all the time, God, give me patience. And he's given me just a little at a time, but the easy part is just the easy part is writing the book, right? So the hard part is waiting for things that are beyond my control, like with the illustrator. So I have an idea of what I think I want my book to look like. So after it's already written, then I go page by page, and I detail each scene of the book as in as much detail as I think I'm putting in it. When I give it to the illustrator, and he takes his time to draw these pictures, I'm patiently waiting, and then I get it back. And even though I put so much detail in it, he follows the directions perfectly, but it's still not exactly the way I want it, so I send it back. And so we've got revisions, and it's taking more time. And so the patience, that's the hardest part about it.
Okay, so it's like writing it takes no time, but it's just the detailing that takes a while.
Oh yeah, I can write a book in an hour, but as far as like taking my time to put in notes and details, that takes a little more time. And a lot of people think that, well, not a lot of people, like two people. Thing like, oh, you sit down and you just have like brainstorming sessions. I'm like, no, I don't have time for that. But basically, like, before I start writing, like, it's easier for me to just let the ideas flow naturally instead of kind of sitting down and forcing them to come. So I'll just start with one word. So usually like an object, so like a toothbrush or like a bike, and then, you know, I go from there. So the character that I'm currently writing about, she's 6 years old, so I just combine like what I think the thoughts of a six-year-old would be with whatever word that I choose and kind of just marry the two ideas together to create a story.
Okay. And so, and how do you come up with your characters? Cause you say the current character right now, she's a six-year-old, but how did you create her, I guess?
Well, I have two nieces. And so they're so funny, and they don't even realize how funny they are. So that specific character is a little of them and then a little of me as a child, because I know myself. Like, I was super, super sassy, and my nieces are just like that. So that little attitude, it's super cute to write about. It's really, really fun.
That is absolutely the cutest thing. It's amazing how you can just take little features or, you know, little details from either ourselves or from the people who are closest to us and just kind of put them into a story and bring it to life. That's what
yes.
it sounds like to me. Okay. So I know you mentioned a little bit of the typical process of writing a book. Like, how do you know what the book is going to be about? Is it just off of intuition, or like you said, you just think about an object and you just kind of go from there? But could you break down, like, how what would be the typical process if you say you can write a book in a day? So how would that go?
So I kind of go always finish a book the same day I started. Sometimes I do, sometimes I can't. So I would start, like, okay, so I'm going to think about a toothbrush. What would a six-year-old do with a toothbrush? Six-year-old is going to be messy. So we're in the bathroom, so we've got water everywhere. We've got toothpaste everywhere. She's probably standing on a stool. She's not going to brush her teeth properly. So it's just a bunch of different ideas. And once I have a bunch of sentences all over the place, then I kind of insert them to make it a full story.
Okay. That's pretty neat. So being that you were the daughter of a military, well, I was going to say, I don't know why I said military. Did I say military?
No,
I did say
military. But that's a truck driver.
Truck driver, that's what it was. I had it all screwed up. Sorry. So being that you were the daughter of a truck driver who constantly moved, are there times that you're able to pull from different experiences from the different places that you lived?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I lived in Minnesota for about 4 or 5 years as a child, and it snowed heavily from like September to May. There was snow on the ground. So I have one story written that's all about wintertime, and it's super, super cute. Giving you a little sneak peek there. but yeah, I lived in New York for the first part of my life, and it was always super, super busy, super loud. There's a lot of commotion. So I've got some stories centered there. And not always with the same character. So that's always exciting to be able to bounce around with different locations and different characters of different genders and different ages.
Okay, good. So do you have any siblings?
One brother. Just one.
So have you, I might be prying, but have you thought about throwing in any, only because I've, you know, read a couple of books, but have you ever thought about throwing any extra characters in that will kind of give any any, I guess, details from your brother?
As long as that specific character is hard-headed and bossy, then yes, absolutely, Darren all the way.
I just think it's pretty amazing, as an artist and as a writer, you know, and as a creator, you know, you can all put them in the same category, even though they all do different things, but they're all creators, and they're all just in their creative minds, they're able to take all of these things and just create and make something, you know, magical. And even when yesterday I was talking to my class, and, you know, I was asking them, have they ever read a story and felt like they were actually there, and just talking about how powerful writers are and how powerful stories are, where it can kind of suck you in and makes it feel real. And I believe part of the reason is because writers are using, you know, characters that are relatable to us or something, an experience. They're relating their experiences through the characters, and that's why it grabs you into the story, and that's what makes it so fun and so magical, because, like, we all know someone like that, or we know a six-year-old like that. And so whenever you're reading these stories, it kind of makes you grin, and you're like, yeah, that reminds me of my niece, or that reminds me of my little girl. And because, like you said, typical six-year-olds, they're going to do the typical six-year-old things. And like I said, I think that's just so amazing how writers are able to do that. So good. That's cool. That's cool. So do you have any favorite writers or any favorite authors?
Yes. My favorite author, her name is Sharon M. Draper. She's a brilliant African-American author. She wrote some of my favorite books, and I discovered her back in middle school. She wrote books called Copper Sun, Out of My Mind. I think the last book I read of hers was called Panic. It's like gray and black and has like a blue butterfly on the front. So I was like, that is so cool. I always really, really loved her work. And each time she releases a new book, I'm like one of the first people to get it. At least that's what I tell myself.
Whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So who was the first person to inspire you to, you know, write, I'm not going to say your first book, but maybe your first story, because maybe you may have written hundreds of stories before this book came out. So who inspired you to write your first story?
Actually, this is very fun. So, like maybe like a year and a half ago, like I never dreamed that I would be like in this position, like publish a book. What? I didn't think that I was going to be able to do this, but it started because I wanted to prove a point to myself. So actually December 2019, I was shopping for a gift for a little girl, and I knew I wanted to buy her a book because kids nowadays have way too many toys. So I wasn't going to add to that.
Right.
So one of the first books that I picked out had a little brown girl on the front cover, and it was pink and it had sparkles on it. And I settled on that book because it was a good price, and honestly, I was in a hurry. I really didn't take a good look at the book until I got home, and then I realized that the author's name was Erin Danielle, and I feel bad because I can't remember her last name right now, but that's my name. So my first name is Erin, middle name is Danielle, and I look at the book, I go, wait a minute. She can write a book. So without like any knowledge of book writing or publishing or anything, I said that, you know, she published a book, I'm a publish 10. So yeah, I had this quick proof to this woman who had no idea of my existence. But that's where it started. This part of it, that's
well,
where it started.
So it's self-motivation. That's what it sounds
yeah.
like. Which is the best motivation. You know, sometimes we try to find motivations in different things and in different people, but if we don't have it within ourselves, then we're not going to do it, not all the time, because we're not going to always have that person in our corner or in our office or at the computer telling you, you need to write.
Yeah.
Or you need to get to work. So you definitely need that self-motivation. So I definitely admire that in you, because I could use a little bit more of that, to be honest. But that's one thing that is important, self-motivation.
Absolutely.
And that's probably, it was like whenever you were saying her name was Erin Danielle, I was like, oh, well, that was it right there. That's all you needed to see. You know, that was God's way of saying, well, here you go.
Here you go.
He put it right in front of you so you can see it. And it's like, well, do you need another sign? How much clearer can it get?
This is your sign.
And like, look, it's your name. So like, what else do you want me to show you? What else other point you want me to prove? So, you know, it definitely was already there. I mean, it's something that you recognized from when you were 3 years old, and, you know, fast forward years later, it's like, okay, now it's time. And hey, what perfect sign.
See my name on a book.
Right. To see your name. I mean, what are the odds of someone seeing their name, first and middle name? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if I'll see another Arthemius, but, you know. But it doesn't get much clearer than that.
And I actually ended up giving that book to that child. I kept it.
Really? Did you give her yours?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So looking back, you know, and looking at this as with you being a Black writer, Black author, looking back over the years, do you remember or can you really recall, other than the other author that you mentioned, can you recall any other Black writers over the years, you know, growing up?
No. No, I can't. Not off the top of my head.
Right. Well,
but, I mean, I've always loved to read. I was more drawn to the story than who wrote it until middle school, high school, and I discovered Sharon Draper, and I was like, oh, she looks like me. You know, I can, you know, maybe this is something that I could think about doing. But all before, I was just more involved in what the story was about than who wrote it.
Yeah, because, of course, I think all the stories and novels they made us read, they were by all dead people anyway. And too many, and to be honest, too many of them were not women writers. You know,
exactly.
We think about Edgar Allan Poe, the poet, and then Charles Dickinson, and, you know, it's not too many that I can really think of that really stick out that were, you know, women writers. Most of the time, it was always a male writer, even with, I can't even think of, we've been out of school so long, but like, Romeo and Juliet and all of his other plays that we read. Yeah, Shakespeare. Everything was mainly male writers. Wasn't too many female writers that I can think of. Well, Emily Dickinson, maybe. That's the only one that comes to mind right now.
Oh,
but.
Yeah, that woman that wrote Harry Potter books.
Yeah, that was a little bit more after my time, but... But what's her name? J.K. Rowling, something like that. I mean, but like, and that was until, you know, early 2000s, late 2000s, mid 2000s. But you know, but even then, that was still just one woman, and so it wasn't really one of those things highlighted, at least not in society, and especially not in our community. Black writers or Black authors, it wasn't really a huge focus on it. And so to hear and to witness, you know, Black writers, especially around our age, millennial writers, it's always a great accomplishment to hear about and to read about. And so I applaud you and other, you know, female writers that I know. So, yeah, I think it's awesome. And we need to see it more, and it's something that our young girls need to see. They need to see more than just entertainers, you know? It's enough entertainers that they can see on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram. But how often do you see a writer going viral, from a book, unless it's already a celebrity, you know?
Right.
And it's something that we need to see more often, and especially in our community, and our girls need to see it and need to know that Black girls write too, you know?
Yes.
And I'm hoping that, you know, they can continue to be spotlighted more, and this is something that we can continue to pass on to, you know, even your nieces and to other young girls who are coming up. I would hate for them to... I would hate for entertainment to be overpowered over, you know, education and the foundation of just reading and writing. And that's what seems to be happening now. And we just have to do our part, do the best that we can. You know, those of us who don't have children yet, but we do have nieces. We do have nieces and nephews, and we want to be able to show them something different and let them know that something different is out there. Like, you don't have to grow up to be a singer or a dancer or entertainer, but you can be a writer. I mean, I can remember even while being in college and going to a liberal college, people would always joke about people who took up professional writing or took up English. You know, I understood, but at the same time, I don't like how people downplay other people's dreams. Like, if that's what they want to take up, let them take it up. I mean, if that's what their passion is, then, hey, let them live their life. But I would always hear people just talk about those who were majoring in, you know, professional writing or even just writing. But some people just truly have a passion for writing, and that is okay. And, you know, they would often joke about, oh, they're not going to be able to find a job whenever they get out. Well, how do you know that they've taken that up to seek a job? Maybe they just enjoy it so much they want to, you know, just have it to say that, hey, I have my degree in professional writing. And you never know what they're going to do with it. But I've never understood that and understood why people would kind of just downplay the whole idea of someone taking up professional writing. And, I mean, I didn't see anything wrong with it. If that's what they wanted to do, then hey. I mean, at least they were offering their craft. Yeah. Yeah. So what is one thing that you would like for young Black girls to take away from you as a writer? I know I've touched on some of the things that we kind of agree upon, but what would be one thing that is in addition to what you would want them to take away?
So my entire life, I thought that I was going to be in the medical field. Couldn't tell me that I wasn't going to be a doctor or a nurse or working in somebody's hospital or somebody's clinic. I went to nursing school and everything. Okay, so what I want young Black girls to know is that life may not always go as planned, and that's okay. Okay, so don't beat yourself up and don't be too hard on yourself, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. So God's plan for us will always be greater than the plan that we think that we have for ourselves.
So true. It's amazing how, you know, our life, we think we know how it's planned and what we're going to do, but like you said, God's thoughts are so different from ours. His ways are not our ways. I mean, he can completely change your plan, and there is really nothing you can do about it. I mean, you can accept it or not, but, you know, it's easier to accept what the plans that God has for you versus Him forcing them upon you. And so, that's really good encouragement for our young girls, because, I just want them to make sure that they know that there is something different out there, and you are doing just that, being an example to even your nieces and to maybe young writers now. And they just need to, we need to see more of this. They need to be exposed to more of this. They really do, because they're already being exposed to so many other things that they don't need to be exposed to. our girls are being exposed to things way too early, and, you know, a lot of it we can't control, because it all boils down to the household that they're in, the parents that allow them to, you know, have this exposure. But, you know, we can only do with so much, but we can, you know, do our part. And, yeah, the generation that's coming up afterwards is something else. It's a different breed.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about it all the time. It's a different breed, and, you know, but we've got to, like I said, all we can do is do our part. So, like I said, I really do appreciate you as a friend and as a writer, as a trailblazer, a female writer, Black writer, all of it, because it is very much needed. And I pray that you will continue to have much success, and you will continue to keep writing and continue to allow God to lead you and direct you, which you're doing that right now, from the very beginning, that I've met you. Because I actually do remember when you told me about the story, when you saw the girl's book in the store with the same name, and you've been wide open ever since. So you're doing it. You are doing
it.
Yes. So what's next for Erin Delancey? I mean, you don't have to give us any details, but what else do you hope to accomplish? I know you say you want to write 10 books, but you've recently released your second one this year, because you did the first one last year, but you released your second one this year. So what's next?
Well, last week I just submitted some notes to my illustrator for the third book, so that should be coming out hopefully right before the summer. So that's exciting. In the future, I do want to work on getting all my books translated into different languages, whether that's French or Spanish or, I don't know, Swahili. but that's one of my goals, to have, like, all my books in, like, different languages so children all over can enjoy them.
Aw, that would be so awesome. So tell us the name of the first book you released in 2020.
My first book is called When I Grow Up. It was published in August 2020, and you can find it on Lulu, LULU.com.
Okay, so that's When I Grow Up. So that'll be perfect for, like, teaching children about careers. That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
Okay, good. So if you're listening and you're looking for, you know, children's books to teach our young children about careers, that'll be a good book to put on your list. On Lulu.com. And tell us about your second book that you recently released.
My second book is called Danielle Goes to the Beach, the super, super sweet story about a super, super nice friend. So that was released in January 2021. And that is also available on Lulu. It recently got picked up by Barnes & Noble, so that was super, super exciting. I had to do, like, a happy Yay. Dance in my office. I was at work when I found that out. So it's available on Barnes & Noble, Lulu, and then several online bookstores. And Amazon.
Amazon. Cool. Mm-hmm. And that one is extra special because she has decided – to donate part of the proceeds to One Touch Transformation. Isn't that sweet?
I was so
excited when she told me that because, you know, she didn't have to do that, but she was sweet enough to say, like, look, I want to give some of my proceeds to your organization. And I thought that was just so sweet. So we really, 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 really appreciate her for showing that act of kindness because, you didn't have to do it, but we greatly appreciate it. We appreciate supporters like you. Yes, and people like you.
You're absolutely welcome.
Thank you, thank you. And how can we get in contact with you or follow you or learn more about you, let them know?
You can find me on Facebook at Erin Delancey, E-R-Y-N-N. Parents want it to be fancy. And then on Instagram at hey_Erin. And my email is golden1publications@gmail.com. So golden, the number one, publications with an S at gmail.com.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And those of you who are following One Touch Transformation, we'll have her information posted as well on our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I don't know if people still use Twitter right now, but, you know, we still post up there or share on both whenever we remember. But it has been a great pleasure having you tonight and sharing your experience as a writer, as a female writer, a black writer, because we want others to know that, hey, we write too.
Yes.
Hashtag
black girls
black girls write too. And we want to make sure that we are encouraging all of our young girls to, you know, dream even bigger. We are more than entertainers. We are intelligent. We are smart. We are beautiful. And we are writers. And if you have a daughter or if you have a young niece, make sure that you are expressing those words to them whenever you can. If you have to express it to them every day, do so. If you're in a state where y'all are going back to school, if you have to tell them that every day before they go back to school, do that. Even if they're in virtual school, if you still have to tell them when they wake up, look, you are so much more, and you can become whatever you want to become. As long as you put God first, anything is possible. And we just, again, greatly appreciate Ms. Erin joining us tonight to share her experience. And I know we're getting close to our call of salvation. And like I said, I know the show was a little different tonight, but we were doing a special show in honor of Women's History Month. And we're just celebrating all women of all backgrounds. And even if you're listening tonight and you are a woman and you do not feel like you are enough, I want to encourage you and let you know that God sees you as more than enough. He died for you so that you can be enough. He thought enough of you, and so he died so that you can live a life of abundance. And maybe you have not accepted him into your life so that you're able to believe that and even understand that, because without him, we're not able to even think or believe that we are enough and that we are capable of being a part of his family and doing the work for him. Because sometimes we can go through so much, experience so much pain to the point where we feel like God cannot use us. But I'm here tonight to let you know that God can, and he will use you despite your past, despite what you've gone through, despite what has happened to you, despite what you may have done. There's a book that Joyce Meyer wrote that said, hey, God is not mad at you. I don't care what you have done. He is not mad at you, but he wants you, and he wants you to accept him. He wants you to want him back. And so tonight you can even make that decision right here, this moment, to accept him so that you can start doing the work that God has prepared for you to do. He has called you to do work. He has called you for a purpose, and he wants you to fulfill that purpose. Without him, we can do nothing. So it's going to take having him in our life. It's going to take him being directed. It's going to take his Holy Spirit. That's what his Holy Spirit does. It leads us and it guides us. And so tonight can be your night that you accept him and that you allow his Spirit to take full control, that you allow him to transform your mind, to renew your mind, to creating you a clean heart and a right spirit. Because guess what? He is just and is able to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so if you are ready to accept him and to start a brand new life, I ask that you pray with me. Father, we thank you for this moment, and we thank you for this opportunity. God, we thank you for being the creator of all things. God, you are Lord of all. You are the beginning and the end. God, we thank you for just who you are, everything that you are. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for this day. We thank you for how you've watched over us and how you've protected us and how you just continue to keep us from day to day. And Father, we thank you for this moment and this opportunity to even give you thanks, to call upon your name. God, we thank you for everyone who is listening under the sound of my voice. And God, we pray for those who are ready to accept you into your life, those who have felt forgotten about, those who have endured so much pain, those who have pushed you aside and feel like they cannot be used by you. But God, we ask for your forgiveness tonight. We ask that you create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. God, we ask that you remove everything that's not like you. God, we ask for your forgiveness of all of our unknown sins and even the sins that we even know about. God, we ask that you blot out all of our transgressions, oh God, so that we may be able to enter into your kingdom and return whenever you come back. Thank you for being the washer of our sins. God, we thank you for how you can transform our minds. And God, we ask for a transformation to take place. God, we open up our hearts, and we invite you in the name of Jesus. God, we ask that you transform right now in the name of Jesus. Renew our minds, renew our spirits, only like you can. And God, we thank you in advance and we praise you in advance for the healing, the deliverance, and the saving that will take place, that is taking place even in this very moment. God, you are worthy of all praise. And Father, I pray for every host that participates with Purpose Kingdom Network. I pray for those who are the head over each show each night. God, I pray that you continue to direct us, God, continue to direct us whenever we're coming up with what you want us to motivate the people with. God, continue to have your way even in our lives. God, I pray for every listener that may be struggling, that may be sick. God, I pray that you would send your power, your healing power right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for any family that is dealing with bereavement. God, I pray that you comfort only like you can. Pray for those who are dealing with sickness and any disease. God, we know that there is no sickness or disease that is too hard for you. God, we ask that you send your word and heal in the name of Jesus. You said with your stripes we are healed. And so, God, we speak healing in the name of Jesus. God, we ask that you continue to watch over us throughout the night. Continue to keep your blood covering us. Watch over us from day to day. Watch over us as we travel across the highways, as we travel to our jobs. God, keep us covered from things that we may not even see, the things that we may not even know that's coming ahead. God, we pray that you will cover in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I pray for Miss Erin. God, I pray that you would continue to bless her in all of her books that are awaiting to be released. God, I pray that you would continue to open doors for her and only like you can. God, we thank you for what you've done in her life thus far. God, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you the glory and the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our pastor, and she's going to give us our announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network.
Hallelujah, God. We praise God. We bless God for one minister, Arsenia Jackson, and her ministry, One Touch Transformation. We thank and bless God for Ms. Erin and just all the great things that God is doing through you and with you. We are just excited for you, and we pray that God continues to shower his blessings upon you. We thank each and everyone who listens in with us this evening for this, our 1,420th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And by faith, we thank and praise God for those souls that gave their life to Christ this evening. We encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary, where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. Until you do, bless God. That is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another broadcast of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting with the Daughters of Ruth and the host, Reverend Maureen Lee, at 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us here at Purpose Kingdom on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to talk with you, to pray one for another, and to bless God for you. Keep your eyes and ears open, Purpose Kingdom, because PKN Radio is coming May 9th of 2021. We will be switching to PKN Radio. You can keep your eyes and ears on our social media pages as well as right here on Blog Talk Radio /Purpose Kingdom for upcoming information with that. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you who listened in. Bless you. Minister Arsenius, the ministry is back in your hands.
All right. Thank you for those announcements, and we hope that you can join in again tomorrow evening. And I'd also like to give you a few announcements for One Touch Transformation. First off, I just want to let you know how you can get in contact with us and learn more information about us. You can find us on Facebook under One Touch Transformation. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at _ONETT. That's _ONETT. Please feel free to visit our website at onett.me. So that's 1TT.me, where you can learn a little bit more about what we're doing in the community. So although we're not able to go out as much as we would like to, but we have been doing some virtual events and activities. So you are more than welcome to find out more about what we're doing. As far as our Butterfly Effect mentoring program, where we once used to meet face-to-face, we are now doing virtual sessions, which we have opened it up now to mothers and daughters. And so we've been doing about 2 to 3 sessions a month on Monday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you're more than welcome, you know, mothers, and bring your daughters. Maybe you have some nieces. You can bring them into our Zoom room. And so the event is normally posted on our Butterfly Effect page. So if you go to Facebook and type in Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program, we'll have the event posted, and you must RSVP in order to receive the link. And so this past week, we, you know, celebrated International Women's Day, and our next session will actually take place March the 22nd, and it's entitled In the Kitchen. So one of our mentors is going to be doing a cooking session with our mothers and daughters, so please feel free to RSVP for that particular event if you would like to join us in the Zoom room. So now, let's see, I want to make sure I'm not leaving out anything. Next month, well, I'll be back on before next month, but I do want to go ahead and put that out there. But next month is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And so normally we would have some, from last year, you know, since everything was virtual, we're going to continue it. This year we'll do some more virtual activities. Usually we'll do like some fitness challenges. So be on the lookout for Sexual Assault Awareness Month coming up in April. This week, though, we are celebrating with the No More Week. So if you haven't seen that, you can hashtag No More or No More Week, and you'll see different things that are going on. But it's basically a campaign that's saying, hey, no more remaining silent, no more, whatever your no more is, and everyone has a chance to share what their no more means to them or what they are saying when they say no more. So this is No More Week, and you may see some posts about that. I think that's all, but in case you need some resources, like I said, you can look us up on our website, 1tt.me. For additional resources, you can always jot down the National Sexual Assault Hotline, which is 1-800-656-4673. Again, that number is 1-800-656-4673. That is the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Also, if you Google it, it will give you the option to chat if you do not want to speak with anyone over the phone. And so if you Google it, you can use the option to chat. Another great resource is RAIN.org, which is the Rape Incest National Network. And that website is RAINN.org. So that's RAIN.org. The cool thing about RAIN.org, whenever you go there to that website, you can put in your zip code and it will bring up the nearest rape crisis center in your area. So if you, again, are looking for additional resources and maybe resources in your area, you can begin there on that website and type in your zip code, and it will bring up the closest or the nearest rape crisis center in your area. So, again, I just want to take this time or take this moment before the internet users are gone, internet listeners are gone. Just want to say thank you for tuning in for this episode of Purpose Kingdom Network with Ms. Erin Delancey as we celebrate Women's History Month. Be sure that you check out her page, follow her on Facebook and Instagram. Like I said, I'll post all of her information under the One Touch Transformation page. I'll post the link where you can purchase the book. Purchase both books. These will be great books for little girls. So if you're looking for children's books, specifically, you know, black authors, and that has black characters that look like us, it's so cool. You've got to see it. But so make sure you do check it out. And this might be the perfect gift for your little girl or your little niece. And I'm so excited when she begins to get them all translated into other languages. If I'm not mistaken, I think one of them is already translated. I think the second one is already translated in French, I think. So, yeah. So be sure to check that out, and I'll have that posted on my page. I hope you have a wonderful evening, a wonderful rest of the week. You know, continue to be grateful, continue to be thankful, and just enjoy life. Enjoy the things that God has blessed us with, and believe that He's not done yet. So I hope that I hope that you were encouraged and that you were motivated to do what God has called you to do, to follow your dreams, to follow that passion, and, you know, just work with it despite what others say. Even if it looks different, so what if it looks different? And so what is not the norm? Guess what? God isn't concerned about that. He's only concerned about you carrying out the work that he has for you to do. And he has created a great work inside of you. And remember, if he started it, he will complete it. So have a wonderful, wonderful night. And remember, God loves you so much, and I love you too. Good night.
Jesus lives.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.